You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. There was a part of me that said, I'm going to start this review by speaking in some Cockney rhyming accent. And then I said, that's going to be really embarrassing to watch you me try to do that.
I consider that.
Just not going to.
Slash entertaining as fuck.
Like sending me hate mail.
All I could come up with was core. That was it.
Oh, I thought it was going
to
be,
please, rhyming.
To be fair, we can only say like half of what those guys said in that movie.
In The Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Which we're reviewing here.
Yeah.
What? You had trouble?
No, we can only say.
Oh, we'll say. Yeah.
I mean, this is...
Oh, I lived in London for 5.5 years. I know plenty of guys that talk like all of them.
The Gentleman is arguably the third chapter in Guy Ritchie's, like, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels Snatch trilogy, but it's been a long time since he's went back to this well of the fast-talking British street gangster type.
Yeah.
And obviously something is different. It's not exactly this. Like, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch feel like sequel. Like,
where do you put Revolver in that, then?
I don't. Revolver's just so far not as good as the others. Neither is Rock and Roll.
Oh, I keep forgetting about Rock and Roll.
I think what you're saying is that now there appears to be a gentrified version of London that Guy Ritchie is now apparently living in, or I guess they're all in, and that is the consequence of. Or that this movie is the consequence of that, because you have all those other movies, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. It's about, you're talking about, well, guys trying to crawl up the ladder, supposed to already be in there, which is what you have in this movie. These guys are the kings of the jungle.
These guys are the end of layer cake.
Well, that being said, they're
the upper crust of it.
Yes. I've been watching Letterkenny all week, and so my thought was, this is just British Letterkenny.
Also, first off, finally, thank God you watched Letterkenny. Yeah,
it's so funny.
Yes, it is.
But like, everybody is like, it's everything so alliterative and rhyming, and everybody talks so fast. I'm like, it's like British rednecks. Instead of Canadian ones. I get it. I don't think that's what I'm supposed to take away from it.
No, what I take away from it is Hugh Grant should play assholes more often.
Swarmy assholes. Weasel assholes. Yes.
I will say Hugh Grant is having a huge comeback in the last several years.
He's great now in supporting roles. He's, like Paddington. And
Paddington too, yeah.
He finds the, when he's not the centerpiece, he finds interesting character parts to play. And he can just disappear and sink his teeth into them. And it's.
Oh, yeah. And that's it. He's like, there was a point where you could feel how bored Hugh Grant was.
Yeah.
And like, because he was always playing the same role.
Yeah.
And now he's getting offered these roles that are just a little bit off, a little bit weird. And he is giving it like 11 on energy. Mm-hmm. I'd say Nicolas Cage like 11, except he knows when to pull back a little.
And not as desperate.
Yeah. I was telling Frank this, and I tried to bring it up during one of the gatherings, but nobody else said watch. It was The Very English Scandal was the first time I saw him kind of breaking out from that, where he's just like, no, I'm going to basically be a protagonist, but also be the villain in this movie or in this miniseries. And it's just like, yeah, no, he was a parliament member who was ashamed of being gay, but also loved owning. It's like, you're a tool. And this is great.
Well, despite the prominence in this cast of Matthew McConaughey, Charlie Hunnam, I would say that for me, I was completely more zeroed in on Hugh Grant than anyone else in here, except possibly Colin Farrell, who is also fucking fantastic and playing a much smaller role than those three actors. But before we get started, I'm Chris.
Sarah Jane.
I'm Frank.
Santiago.
And I'm Ben.
By the way, Santiago, thank you for coming back again. It's been a while since we've had you. What was the other one you were on?
It's hard to remember, but it was a Natalie Portman movie where she wears the...
oh, no.
Lucy
the astronaut
the
one?
It was the astronaut.
Oh, God.
I forgot about that movie. That movie and the goldfish just got swept under the rug from everybody.
And they deserved it.
I wanted to like that movie more than anyone liked that movie.
We all went into it like, I don't care what the critics said at the festival. I'm very excited to see this. It's Noah Hawley, who does Fargo and Legion. I'm thrilled. And it was boring. But The Gentleman...
It's not boring.
It's not boring.
It's so far from boring.
Yeah. Take away what you will from it, and the majority of criticism I've seen was like, a lot of this stuff is not really appropriate for this day and age type of stuff.
You saw a lot
casual
of
racism.
A lot casual racism is the biggest accusation I saw, and a lot of sort of like, great, we get another movie that it feels like it came out 20 years ago, and I'm like, I'm not sure I completely the casual racism I'll give you. As far as it came out 20 years ago, it definitely feels like an evolution of Snatch and Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels and Rock and Rolla and Revolver, if you will. But it definitely feels like he's making a different type of movie in some way.
I saw a lot of what you saw in terms of people calling it stale and too much of a, you know, repeat or retread. And I just thought it was a fun spin on all that, you know, on all the throwbacks.
Well, I like the fact that it's a weird and different kind of meta film. And
it is so meta, especially by the end of the movie.
All right, so Hugh Grant has showed up at Charlie Hunnam's house, who is part of this gang setup thing, and says, here's the deal. I know everything. I know shit you don't know. I'm a newspaper journalist, and I'm going to tell you everything that I know, and because I'm writing a screenplay, and here's your opportunity to get involved. Which is very funny.
He's so obsessed with cinema that he's getting super granular.
Yeah,
and like not on digital.
Yeah, that was what frankly nobody would be. He's like, I think I'm gonna love this. I'm like, yeah,
yeah, I told you, like, this is my movie.
Yeah, he literally has organized his journalistic findings as a screenplay, which in and of itself
is
pretty
funny.
But she wants
to film in not 2x3, not for the small screen.
Anamorphic. They even go as to compare themselves to The Conversation and then go on to say that even that movie is shit. So this is the most gratuitous display of.
It was kind of slow for me.
Nod to the movie industry that I've seen in a long time
on the part of the movie industry that I think Johnny Neal might actually enjoy this movie for those bits.
Oh, Johnny Neal will probably love this.
Oh, yeah, no. It'll be like, I love this movie, but go make Man from U.N.C.L.E. 2, goddammit.
But the story he's telling is of an American in the midst of all these Brits, played by Matthew McConaughey, who perhaps is over. It feels like, I know it's to some extent he's supposed to feel like the odd man out, but sometimes a little too much for my tastes, where I was like, yeah, you're not really fitting into this cast.
He's trying to be a little bit too alpha, I think.
Yeah, he is a guy who started off selling pot in a lowbrow sort of way, and ends up becoming a huge, like guy who runs the marijuana industry in London, like, which I guess is I presume can be a big thing. But he's like, look, all this is going to like die soon because marijuana is going to be legalized. And he's trying to sell it to actor Jeremy Strong, who is a American billionaire, saying, look, my infrastructure is already in place. My field's already in place. The moment this is legalized, you're going to be way ahead of everyone else. And this is this huge offer. The problem is that there are people who are wanting to take control of this empire before anything like that can even happen. Most notably, Henry Golding, who's known as Dry Eye. Never was clear why he was called that exactly.
You know, that's probably some off-color joke that I'm just not getting.
Yeah, he said
his buddy had a scar right here that almost looked like a tear, so I thought maybe they were just differentiating the two because one had the scar and one didn't.
What do you mean, Fook?
Yes.
That was also a tear to me. I don't know why he was called Dry Eye.
But he's a Chinese gangster, which is where we get into the casual racism stuff. There's a certainly, I wouldn't say it's nonstop, but it's decidedly unmissable.
But I think it's also made to be so over the top where it's just like, this is so blatantly bad. It's just like, all right, it's kind of funny because he's that stupidly racist.
But everything gets very convoluted very quickly. And it doesn't, I say help, and I don't mean that in a bad way per se, but that when everybody is talking, they're talking in this very Guy Ritchie British film. It's very fast. It's very alliterative. It's very rhymey. It's very, like, at points I'm like, wait, what did he just say? It was pretty to listen to, but I'm not sure what the upshot of it was.
There's a part where they actually give you a subtitle to explain one line. I'm like, oh, you get your own problem. Gotcha. Good job, Guy Ritchie.
There's lots of characters that come in and out of this. The plot is deeply convoluted, and there were points I was thoroughly lost. I don't have a fucking clue what's going on right now with all the gangsters stuff versus the other gangsters. I was relieved whenever it would go back to just Hugh Grant and Charlie Hunnam talking, because those were honestly in some ways the most pleasant parts of the film.
It really was. The banter between the two of them, it becomes like this, so like, you know, almost like, you know, Harold Pinter, or they got the road sleuth, whoever that was, Anthony Schaefer or whatever. But yeah, it's like a cat and mouse thing that sort of evolves from that, and they're fun together.
And Hugh Grant just bluntly, like, heavy flirting with it was amazing. Yeah.
Well, like, there's a lot of homosexual, like, you know, hints in this film, you know.
Yeah, there are several characters who are either outwardly gay or you assume are probably
yeah.
gay. And that was another thing with the casual bigotry that some people accused it of, that I was like, I didn't see that so much. I mean, there were gay characters who are a little flaming.
I think what they're erring on there is that I suppose being well-dressed is somehow an indication that you're a homosexual is like a joke, I believe.
Oh, but if that's the case, I'm the straightest.
Maybe that's a stretch. I don't know. But I'm trying to understand where all this is coming from. I mean, there was a lot of, distasteful stuff in the movie, but I think some of it was, you know, for the sake of cinema, which is a lot to say about what a lot of this movie is about. A lot of it is really fun and, you know, kind of just like for the sake of being fun, which is playful. Guy Ritchie has never been a guy of substance, you know?
This isn't an ideology he's trying to push or anything by any means.
And it makes it very clear that these characters, at their core, are all pretty repugnant people.
Yeah.
It's like, he's not, like, idolizing any of them. Like, even Charlie Hunnam's character, it's like, no, he has his hang-ups, and he's kind of a tool about some of those hang-ups.
Yeah, everybody's a bad guy. It's a Guy Ritchie gangster film. That's kind of the point. A decent gangster film, there are no good guys, you know, generally speaking. I mean, like, I guess it was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrel had those guys who were so amateurish and almost innocent, despite being openly criminals, that they're like, oh, they're clearly the good guys. But this one, everybody is kind of a power player in this film. It's hard to find anyone that you go, no, that guy is the hero. And I would say if there was a real problem here, it's that Matthew McConaughey is weirdly inscrutable in this film. He is the character everything is surrounding, and yet I found myself more often than not bored with him when he was on screen. I found myself going, well, so what exactly are you trying to get?
I think that there's something about him that's just not really that, you know, clear, or something that Guy Ritchie kept hidden from us, that he's not as transparent by the end of the film as everybody else is.
Well,
you know?
He's also the character that, if you get into the breaking down of the narrative and how this film is supposedly existing and how we're seeing it, he's also not exactly in any part of the story firsthand. He's always a secondhand or third man character. Every bit of his story is, well, I saw him do this, and oh, let me, and everything that's exaggerated is like they call it out or they say, well, I don't really know.
Everything is a recollection of something that
He is still the star of the film, though. I mean, he's on screen at least as much as Charlie Hunnam and Hugh Grant is, if not more. I mean, like, everything is about him and his arc, and I found him a little unsatisfying in this part. I think, if anything, he's trying so hard to play it laconic and pulled back that he's just, with everyone else so heightened, he's
weren't convinced by the boiled egg and the pint that he ordered?
He's a little dull to watch. He doesn't really have, everybody's got interesting tics. He really doesn't.
I mean, I think it's supposed to just be that he is the control guy is the thing that, like, you know, there's that scene where basically Charlie himself at the end goes, yeah, but that's not him at all. He's like, I'm just making sure you're paying attention. It's like, no, he's the guy who's in charge and can stand up to the other gangs because he is that controlled rage.
Yeah.
And he keeps everything on the balance. And they make that point of, like, the only time that he ever loses control is related to his wife. And it's like, and when they show that.
Played by Michelle Dockery.
Yes.
Who is great.
She's great.
She's so just.
I'm so glad.
She owns this so much. And I will also say, going back to when you're saying nobody's really the good guy, Colin Farrell kind of is the only good person in this movie. He does questionable things, but even when he does them, it's like he picks the most morally gray to light side way to do
it. I mean, even he is straight up a criminal.
Yeah, like, he is. There's a few skeletons in that closet, but I think you hit the nail on the head. Is that, you know, Matthew McConaughey has gotten himself into such a position of power. He doesn't need to, you know, burst out in rageful, you know, episodes. He's got people to do that for him. Yeah. He's got people to act out his crazy for him. And, you know, I think that's the one of the best.
And that's how he's raised to get all of the people in power to work with him, is because he respects them.
I think the problem is, if you're playing that role, you need a certain level of, I don't know what it is, Brandoism, for lack of a better word. And he never achieves that level of, like, I believe you're that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm always like, I'm waiting for him to not be that guy, because it feels like he's not by his performance. And the movie treats him like he's this untouchable godfather character. And I found that very distracting.
But he's also not, like, you know, acting just like a walker or a signifier or anything like that at the same time. He's actually got his own sort of, you know, beats and, you know, stuff that affects him. You see him being affected throughout the film.
I do. I don't think it's a terrible performance. I think he makes the wrong choice in the performance.
Do you think it maybe, I was kind of wondering this when I was watching him, do you think, because this is someone, he's meant to be someone who spent decades living abroad, and Matthew McConaughey has always been asked to play, you know, I mean, different characters, but always like the down home southern boy.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the first time he's got to have played someone that, you know, that's sort of like transatlantic and, you know, assimilated
to
a different
culture. It would have been nice to see a scene where he indulges in his awareness of Britishisms. You know what I mean? Where he's talking to someone and goes, oh, I could tell you, and then go into the Cockney or what have you. Something to acknowledge that he wasn't completely separate from everything else that was happening in this film. But he always feels like this standalone character who's not really part of the rest of the movie.
So you're saying that he's not necessarily an unconvincing gangster as much as you feel like he was just being McConaughey,
yes,
who happened to be, like, you know, maybe driving by a movie scene and someone was like, hey man, we got some lines that we need you to spit. Hey, actually, that was pretty good. I mean, so to speak. I mean, because
yeah,
he didn't really immerse himself in the role.
No, his performance is straight up McConaughey giving a good performance as McConaughey, but it felt like he was unaware he was in a film that took place where his character had lived in Britain for 20 years.
So you're saying he's not bad, he's just all right?
Jesus. The beginning of the film, it was just straight out of...
Feel free to
maybe just
him.
Two all rights.
It was straight out of his car commercial where he started to talk. You know, what is it?
Lincoln.
Yeah. It sounded just like the Lincoln commercial, and I thought, oh, is that what he's going to be doing? And I guess he changed it. He got a little bit more up there, but...
Hey, Lincoln Lawyer was a good movie.
Yes, but the Lincoln commercials, not so much. Oh, it's a good movie.
Is it
I
really?
Agree. Yeah, it's okay. A really good movie.
Good soundtrack,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Highly recommended. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Frank, why don't you get us started?
I loved this movie.
Oh, wow.
I really did. I was tired. I thought about bailing. I wasn't signed up to cover it for here. I crashed the party, kids. And I'm not covering it on the blog I write for. I wanted to go home and sleep. But I had a friend at work said, go, it looks so good. And you're already signed up for it, so just go. And I had a blast. You know, once in a while, January will throw you a treasure.
Dude, we've actually had a reasonably okay January this year.
There's one every... I mean, Mordecai, you know, Serenity.
Really? Mordecai,
yes,
really?
I love both those movies, actually. Ugh. But no, this was amazing. This really just... I'm still buzzing off the adrenaline of this film. It is very convoluted, but for me, convoluted in a script is a plus. You know, it's more for me to dig through and figure out and play with. And this movie gave me a lot. There's all these different characters. They're all written with such, you know, fun and exuberance and darkness and humor. It makes each one of them has their own sort of niche. I feel even McConaughey. I love that there's something. There's a mystery about him which you can never really put your finger on, which maybe it's related to what you're talking about. I'm not sure, but
I mean, I think that's what they were going for, but it didn't translate to me.
Well, for me, it did. And I liked all the performances in this movie. I love Michelle Dockery. I'm so glad Kate Beckinsale backed out.
I think Beckinsale would have been great.
She would have been great too. Rachel Weisz would have been great too. But you know, Michelle Dockery, this was great for her. Yeah, this was explosive. It was so pulsating. It was colorful. It was dark. I can see why people would think this is a retread, but it's a retread of something really, really great. and it's done really well. And it's, you know, Guy Ritchie back in top form after fucking Aladdin. Sorry, Ben. Yeah, but
I'm with Ben.
Yeah,
okay. I'll never say that again. But I'm with Ben this time.
But somebody
like no Bad comment. Boys with all of us as well. Come on.
This is January, so I'm not going to give it a full like 10 star or 10.
What, you were thinking about giving it 10 stars?
I actually kind of was, but it's January, so I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to give this an 8.5 out of 10. You know, Chinamen throwing up on their table.
You can't say Chinamen.
Chinamen.
You can't say that.
I can't? Oh, sorry.
No.
That's part of what was racist about the movie.
Okay,
right?
Well, it's thematic, if nothing else.
Men from China.
Chinese restaurant owners.
Stop, reverse that.
Especially when you, say, Chinamen. Chinamen.
Well, I heard it. They say it in Murder by Death.
Chinamen.
Hugh Grant
yes,
said...
Yes, that came out in the fucking 70s.
70s, yes. That was a woke time.
Hugh Grant's so charmingly befuddled when he calls them Chinamen.
Sarah?
I liked it, not as much as Frank. I agree with you with Matthew McConaughey. He just felt wrong throughout the whole movie. He was just... Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like him. I did really like Colin Farrell, though. He was really
We
great.
Wanted more Colin Farrell.
I did. I would watch a whole movie with just him and his gang.
If they do anything next, I would like a spinoff about Colin Farrell and his gang. Who do the British jumpsuit wearing gang thing, which mystifies me. I'm like, what is that? What is the deal with that?
Undercover. Wear matching jumpsuits that are really recognizable.
Like, that's how fun this movie can be. It's like, these guys are just like, they're broadcasting themselves doing hijinks.
I was happy that they re-showed that over the credits, the fight porn.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Hugh Grant was really great also. I've never heard him with that kind of an accent before, so I was just like, whoa. So, I feel like this is it is like a capper to his first two movies, Lock, Stock, and,
Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, and Snatched. Like, this one is almost like a passing of the guard, because all these guys are old now, and they can see that they need to, well, that's what Matthew McConaughey wanted to get out of the game. Because he knew there was, people coming up. So it felt like it was a capper to that. I'm going to give it 7.5. I mean, I had fun, but, 7.5 out of 10 paperweight guns.
Santiago!
I'm going to say that I really liked this movie. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. I liked all the details. This is what Guy Ritchie does, and he does it really well. Snatch was, a bunch of really snappy editing. This had all of that stuff, and I think it's a return to form that I really like. I think the jury's still out on Aladdin, so I'm not going to comment on his sabbatical to making these kinds of movies.
I'd rather watch the animated film, but yes. It's a more than halfway decent live-action adaptation.
That said,
just saying,
I'd be kidding myself.
Don't at me.
If I said that this movie wasn't going to be forgotten pretty soon because of the fact that it just lacks a whole lot of substance. But that's fine. That is totally fine. I still thought it was a whole lot of fun. Colin Farrell was amazing.
There's a lot of substances in this movie.
There is a lot of substance.
Yeah, it's all about substance. True. On that level, yeah.
As for McConaughey's performance, I like him more and more. The same goes for Colin Farrell. I can't say enough about Hugh Grant. I mean, I think you guys want to see an offshoot of Colin Farrell. I want to see... More of Hugh Grant doing stuff like this.
I don't, only because I want to see Hugh Grant do something else completely different next.
Yeah.
Like, he's been so, I can't tell what you're going to do lately.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him fall back into a...
With the rom-com.
Was in the rom-com forever. I don't want to see him fall back into a type of character he plays.
I think The Lobster was a turning point. I don't know if you guys saw that, but I think it was a turning point for him.
That was
new darkness.
Well, that was Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
That was Colin Farrell, yeah.
Oh, you guys are talking about Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
No, Colin Farrell's been on... I thought we stitched gears there and started talking about
Colin Farrell has been great the whole time. You motherfuckers just didn't notice.
I agree with you. In Bruges.
In Bruges, I liked Phone Booth a lot.
But he's had no end of great films.
Wow. There you
go. He was one of the high points of Daredevil.
He was great.
He was the high point.
He was the high point.
No, Kingpin was pretty great, too.
True Detective Clark Duncan. Season 2, he was really, really good.
Well, he was the only good thing in True Detective Season 2.
Yeah, I didn't hate it as much as most people, but yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
Moving on, I do think that
they're making these movies in a fun, almost like Caddyshack-esque type of playfulness. Yes. That's why, you know, some of the casual racism and, you know, the kind of just like I'm mouthy because I'm gay type of sort of thing. To me, it's just like fine. Maybe it's just like par for the course. But that being said, I will give it 6 out of 10. Really nice bobbies. Yeah.
Ben, what about you?
I think I kind of love this as much as Frank, maybe even a little more, just because it kind of it's like Knives Out for me. It hits
go fuck yourself.
It hits every point that I love genre with a really fun, well-written, snappy script and some fantastic character performances.
You did not understand Knives Out.
Wow.
I will fight you in your own house. Very rarely. Even wow. Monkey will not intervene on that one. Jesus.
If you think this is Knives Out, I don't know what to tell you.
No, but I know it's got that familiarity, but it's done in a fresher way.
It took the genre that I love, it brought in a bunch of actors that I like, and put them into really fun characters that just jump off the page. I agree, McConaughey, yes, wasn't the most, you know, live wire character on set or even close to that, but it's also, I don't think he needed to be for me to enjoy this movie as much as I did. Especially with, you know, I always felt watching the trailers and watching the movie that Hunnam and Hugh Grant are the real stars of the movie. And I think Hunnam gave maybe his best performance since, what was that show? The motorcycle show that he was on.
Sons of Anarchy?
Thank you. Probably his best performance since
then. By
the way, we'll
never understand the hatred for Hunnam.
Is there hatred for Hunnam?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was an amazing movie. Yeah. Like, that was really good.
Which also, Pacific Rim.
Agreed.
Which movie?
A lot of people really...
Lost City of Z?
Yeah. Oh, that was a good movie.
A lot of people
hate
Hunnam.
They do.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
I was saying to Frank and Ben at the movie, he looks like 5 other actors, and so I couldn't even pick him out of a lineup if I wanted to. But here, I mean, I probably had seen him before, but here he was pretty good.
Yeah.
He made an impression more than he usually does in think.
No, he is the perfect guy to offset Hugh Grant's character in this film. Like, I can't imagine someone else in that role, like, doing what he does here and pulling it off better.
But again, I think also half that's Richie, because it's such 2 well-written characters. Yeah. That just
and he gets his own moments, too, because he is supposed to be kind of the more cool and calm one, but then when they have the, where he goes to the junkie's house, it's like, all right, this is your moment to shine as your character. And he nails that. And I think every character gets those moments, you know. And I love that. I love this genre. And I love the snappy dialogue. Yes, it's not, you know, the best movie. It's not Knives Out quality. But it's definitely the best Richie's done in ages. And I would say it's up there with his original 2, you know, movies that everybody fell in love with him from, Snatch and Lock, Stock. And I honestly will definitely revisit this one and recommend it to everyone that I know that's on the fence about it. Because I've really just had a great time with it. So I'm going to give it, let's say, 9 out of 10 Wagyu steaks kept cold with...
God damn it! That was going to be mine.
Look, you always go last. We get to steal them from you. It's our job.
You know by not have a backup.
I was hungry just thinking about prepping for Wagyu steaks.
Oh, if I had Wagyu before Ryman.
I did genuinely enjoy this film, but the more... It's one of those films, the more I'm separated from it, the more I go, But the more time I spend thinking about it, the less I really find that I'm as excited about it as I was. And I will say that, like, we watched it at a screening where they were pumping us full of drinks and giving us a free tab. So, like, I want to see this movie again sober. I was not sober when I saw it. I figured not sober was the way to see this film. I may have been wrong.
It's got rewatch quality.
I will definitely watch this again.
I mean, the last thing you saw in review with me, not sober, was the Meg, and you changed your mind a bit on that.
I did. Not a lot. Well, I was mainly annoyed by the fact that we saw it out at a beach thing in the water, and there were sharp shit sticking out of the water.
Oh, you went to that screen?
Yeah, he did. He's like, there's only a little bit of rebar that almost gave me tetanus. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I was like anally penetrated by rusty rebar. It was not good. Yeah. Oh,
God. Dude, at least it wasn't a pig.
Dude, do not go to those draft house screenings that are out at, where was it? It was
I didn't get to go. Me and Matt Frank were like, oh,
Volante
you
Beach. I was like, you sit out there and I was like, there's literally rusty pieces of rebar sticking out of the fucking water. Like, what is that? Who is organizing this? God. Anyway, sorry. That was a whole other movie. This
one, than a giant shark.
There was no rusty pieces of rebar unless you count Matthew.
I knew it.
All right, fine. That was good.
I did genuinely enjoy parts of this quite a bit. There are parts I found myself going like, I just don't know exactly what's going on with the interplay with the between the gangs, but I don't feel like it's elevated quite in the way to make each one of those separate little elements interesting in and of itself and not feel just like an excess that wasn't required by this film.
Because I was saying to them, I don't think there was any fat that would need to be trimmed from this
film. I don't feel that way at all. I feel like this could have trimmed a lot of fat or have had a rewrite of the script that went back and said, we need moments to slow down for a second. Because I think one of the biggest problems with the script is it never slows down.
It's kind of like Nice Guys in that way.
I had the same problem with Nice Guys.
You'll miss something, honestly. Yeah. Like, you know, if you go to the bathroom and I love Nice Guys. Movie, while you're at the theaters, you might miss a plot
I really enjoy Nice Guys, too, but it's just like, it feels like they're trying to cram more in this film than you needed to cram in this film, and the way they're delivering it all is fun, but it's still like, it's too much. It's more than you need to get there. And it doesn't help that Matthew McConaughey, like I said, is playing Matthew McConaughey, and he's not a bad actor here. He just felt like it's not his choices that are bad, it's the script choices for him that never give him a moment to really shine. And I feel like that's a real problem where he's the center character everyone's staring at. I wanted to like this a lot more than I did. I still did like it. I can't wait to watch it again, sober.
Ish.
I mean, they literally sent me a note like today. Do you want the Blu-ray when it comes out? Yes, send me the Blu-ray. Like, I can't wait to watch it again. And hope that maybe I was completely wrong. But this time I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 with all deference to Ben. Really amazing barbecue setups outside.
That was pretty cool.
Holy shit.
That was pretty cool.
I mean, you wouldn't need it in Texas ever because
warms your knees.
No, but still. But still, I was like, I want that.
I thought you were going to go for the scotch.
Oh, I forgot about the scotch.
The scotch.
7 out of 10 scotches.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that his three weaknesses are Wagyu beef, Barbies, and scotch.
That's my weaknesses.
Same.